WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. It's Wednesday. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. We're discussing the issues of the day. A little bit later on, we'll hear from Andy Carbone talking about the red-hot Red Sox and some other Major League Baseball news as he joins us today on North Shore Today. Well, Rick, another sunny day here, and the Red Sox coming off another huge win last night, as is Bernie Sanders, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, how about that? Boy, I'll tell you. You know, it's funny. Everybody was talking about the Republican race being the one that might be contested. Hey, maybe the Democratic convention will be contested, huh?
No, I know. You know, I've been saying this for a long time, and, it's bearing out in that this is the way it's playing out. Everyone, it's for sure Donald Trump won't have the, 1237 that he needs. So, well, he's got that. He'll be all set there. But on the other side, Bernie Sanders, what was amazing about last night is I really didn't think Bernie – I wasn't paying that close attention to West Virginia. But I really thought that was a Hillary Clinton state until I started watching the news yesterday. And they said, well, no, Bernie could win this or whatever. But Hillary won it by 40 points 8 years ago against Barack Obama. Now she loses it probably by 13 points or something like that. That's a huge swing and whatever. So – Bernie's still alive. Unfortunately, he doesn't pick up too many delegates out of the deal. But he did speak last night, Rick. He was out on the West Coast. I want to say Washington or Oregon, and maybe it was Oregon. And he was speaking out there, and he's going on. So there'll be a race on the Democratic side for a while. So we'll see what happens.
Strange stuff. It's just too weird, man. Very strange.
Well, looking at some of the stories, I'm looking at some of the one story in the North Shore, in the Salem News, for example. Ariana McNeil writes that there may be an offer on the table, but the Roller Palace is not set to close yet in Beverly. Nothing certain, but Ken Breen, one of the owners of the popular Sawyer Road skating destination, said Tuesday that there are plans in the works to turn the Roller Palace, which also contains soccer, et cetera, into the same building, into a rehabilitation facility for adults recovering from surgery. However, Lockwood Investments is planning to drop $18 million to $20 million to create that center. But that hasn't happened yet, so the fun continues at the rink, at least for the time being in Beverly.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm looking at I didn't get a chance to read the Times this morning, but there are a couple of interesting stories. One is that in the city budget, according to the mayor, Safathia Romeo Taken, there is no money in the budget for any raises in union contracts. The six city union contracts are due to expire on June 30. There are some increases for fire department, police department, and Department of Public Works issues, overall cost increases, but not for raises. So that should prove interesting down the road as all six city contracts are expiring. Then there are a couple of restoration projects in the paper. One is the Phyllis A. It's a big fishing vessel that a committee is trying to restore. It's 91 years old. It's the oldest fishing vessel still around. But it's been in dry dock, and it's drying out. And that's not a good thing for a fishing vessel. In other words, it's rotting, and the people trying to restore it have not raised enough money to get it going yet. So there's a story in the Times about that, trying to get that project going. And then one other story is the fact that a couple of sixth graders in Gloucester came across a Civil War coat, a Civil War military coat that's been on display at Gloucester High School for many, many years. And it was worn by a former Gloucester High School principal who was a prisoner of war in the Civil War, and this was his coat. They're trying to restore it, and it is going to cost about $4,000 to restore it, and by golly, these two sixth-grade twins have raised the money to do so. So this coat is going to be restored, and then they're going to get a new display case and put it back at Gloucester High School. And they wanted to do this before they got to the high school, so apparently that's on schedule. Good for them. And finally, Bill, the empty bowl dinner, we've talked about this, or I have before, sponsored by the Open Door, will take place Thursday in Gloucester. This is quite an event at Cruiseport, Gloucester. and it is to benefit the empty bowl, to benefit the Open Door, which feeds one out of six families in Gloucester. So this benefit for the Open Door will take place at Cruiseport Gloucester at 6 Rose Street Thursday, May 12th, from 4 to 8 p.m., $15 for adults, $10 for children 10 and under. And you will be able to get a bowl. You can also purchase a bowl that has been artistically rendered by many, many different people. It's a small meal, very small meal, to benefit the Open Door. And they're hoping to raise over $50,000. So this is always a well-attended event, according to Julie LaFontaine, who's the director of the Open Door.
Well, so that's this Thursday, yeah, coming right up. Ipswich, and this is a Salem News story. The town will join about 30 other communities in Massachusetts, including Marblehead and Manchester, and adopt a townwide ban on plastic bags and styrofoam containers at businesses following the passage of a warrant article to that effect at their town meeting on Tuesday. The proposal was brought by five Ipswich High School students and their science teacher, Lori LaFrance. It started as a school project by two groups among the five students, but when the semester ended, both groups decided to take their cause to town meeting. So that's an Amanda Astuni story in today's edition of the Salem News. Also, jumping to the Lynn item, there's a famous parcel of property which is right on the water in the harbor in Lynn, and pretty much been vacant for years now, but it's called the Beacon Chevrolet lot, where Beacon Chevrolet used to be located. And it's been apparently it's part of the story that we did a few weeks ago. There is a proposal to put housing in that area and develop that area. And apparently that's moving forward now because the property has been sold. Thomas Grillo, the item city editor, has a story on the front page of the item. So one of those land sale steps in the process has happened or is going to be happening. So that project moves forward. And in Marblehead, Alan Burke writes in today's Salem News, and it's also obviously in the front page of the item as well, that let me read it from the from the item actually. Jennifer Schaffner won the school committee seat by a landslide, while Robin Michaud rather narrowly kept her town clerk job on the Tuesday elections. And so those are some results from the Marblehead elections from yesterday. And let me think here. I guess
I got election results from Essex too, Bill.
Okay.
All right. So in Essex this week, residents will see their property taxes rise slightly after 305 of the town's registered voters approved an increase in order for the town to receive Community Preservation Act grants. So they raised their taxes in order to get grants. Again, mathematically, I don't quite get that, but there's got to be a reason they up their taxes by 0.5%. Essex has approximately 3,500 residents, according to Dimitra Lavarkas in the Gloucester Times. And let me see, 305 people voted. So that's under 1% of the registered voters voted in the election in Essex. And they did raise their property taxes by 0.5%. Mm-hmm.
There's also a feature story on the item today on the front page regarding the Saugus Ironworks. I won't go into it, but it just points out it's a national park. It does point out that it is a real treasure. It's right close by. For those of you up north where you are, Rick, just off of Route 1, an easy drive. But the Saugus Ironworks is really a great take for kids as well as adults, actually, to get to see that process, to see how that process, how that operated many, many years ago, right in the heart of Saugus. So that's obviously a great take, and good to see that feature story on that piece.
And our own Heather Atwood has an article today in the Gloucester Times, Food for Thought, and it expands on what we talked about the last couple of weeks about asking when you get fish, when you're going out for a fish dinner at a restaurant or you're buying fresh fish, ask where it comes from. And she reiterates that, gets into great detail the fishing boats that are around on Cape Ann and in northeastern Massachusetts and so on, and lower Maine and New Hampshire. All the fishing boats that bring in fresh fish and the consequences of getting fish that is not wild and not fresh. And it's a tremendous article. Plus, She has a couple of recipes in there that she talked about last week and the week before about dabs, which are a kind of flounder. So some great pictures in the Gloucester Times and a big article by Heather. But the main thing is ask where the fish comes from and make sure that it is fresh, wild fish.
That same article, I believe, is in the Salem News today as well by Heather. You know, I was listening to the radio, Rick. I was in the car a little yesterday, and I must have been listening to a national ad. So I don't know where it was, what program it was on, but there are radio commercials that are running just in Boston on the Boston stations. There are some that run, you know, the Red Sox commercials. Some of them run all across New England. But this is one that obviously runs all across the country. And they were talking about this restaurant, fish restaurant or seafood restaurant. And I had not heard the name before. But they said they fly their fish-like cod. It wasn't haddock. They fly it in daily from Rhode Island. So, you know, obviously it wasn't a local ad because we got our own fish right here from the North Shore and closer. But we're not flying fish in here from Rhode Island, I don't think, but maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
But still, that's not, I don't know. I mean, I would think that if it's Rhode Island, that it's fresh wild fish, so that's good to ship that around the country. And with transportation, I mean, you can keep it fresh, certainly for 24 hours.
No, what I'm saying, though, is if I'm out in Nebraska and I hear that, oh, great, they're flying it in from Rhode Island, okay, that sounds good to me, but if I'm in Gloucester, I'm not saying that's going to draw me to that place. That's all I'm saying.
No. However, if there are restaurants in the area that do that, that get their fish from Rhode Island, that's all right, as long as it's this wild fish. You know, I'm editorializing now, obviously. You know, there are many. I don't know how the fish is distributed across the North Shore from here, but I would think if it's from Rhode Island, again, I would ask, okay, great, but do they have fish farms in Rhode Island? I don't want them from a fish farm. I want wild fish.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. All right. Well, those are some of the stories making news today here on the North Shore as we look at some of the stories. There's a little note here. Ipswich, where we got from the Ipswich River Wildlife Society's Birdathon. They'll be holding it on May 13th. That's Friday and Saturday, the 14th, to help Sanctuary raise money to support their conservation and education program. A birding partner is required to participate. Single guests will be paired together. Ipswich Wildlife Sanctuary is located in Topsfield. And if you'd like some reservations, go to their website or call them at 978-887-9264. 987-887-9264. Also, it's probably obvious if you've clicked on the post today, but we do have on our post today, we do have the story and some of the photos from a Groveland deck fire yesterday. So that happened yesterday, and apparently it was put out by the Groveland Fire Department prior to getting and destroying the house. So that was good news for that family in Groveland. Anything, Rick? All right. Well, what we'll do
is... Yes. I don't have it in front of me, but just to confirm that I believe it's the Kepler Space Telescope has confirmed that it has discovered more than 1,200 more exoplanets, meaning planets outside of our solar system. And among them, I think they came up with something like 100 that are under 1.5 times the size of Earth, which means that they could support life. So great news if you're an exoplanet or a fan or an exobiologist and you're looking to the skies to see where we could move to in the next 100,000 years or so. But no, seriously, three more. The total catalog now for planets outside of our solar system that have been confirmed by astronomers is over 3,000.
Gotcha. All right, we'll step aside. Andy Carbone joining us here in just a moment. Then we'll be back and check some more sports for you here on North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, our Red Sox insider. Andy Carbone is here with us with news and commentary on the Red Sox and Major League Baseball and beyond. And Andy, let's begin with the Red Sox and Jackie Bradley Jr. What a season he is having, and he's come on strong the last couple of weeks.
He certainly is, Bill. He is just on fire right now, carrying a 15-game hitting streak coming into Tuesday night's game here at Fenway. He's obviously hitting well in spurts. Last year we saw some time where he was on fire, but then he'd go into another long slump. Hopefully this is going to stick with it. But last night his first Major League Grand Slam, drove in six runs. He's playing, obviously, stellar defense. And, you know, he's just the hottest batter in the Red Sox lineup. There's no question about that.
Well, David Ortiz is going to retire at the end of the year, but he's not tiring out at the plate at all. He had three home runs in that Yankee series in New York last weekend. So he continues to get the job done and delivering big hits and being at the plate in big situations.
Absolutely. He added three more hits last night, drove in a couple more runs. So hopefully, I'm hoping he reconsiders at some point because he is just, you know, he's on a nice run. And if he could continue this kind of production throughout the season, that's obviously a big lift. But unfortunately, it's going to be a big hole to fill for the Red Sox going into next season. But it's going to be fun to watch the rest of the year with Big Poppy, that's for sure.
Well, if Ted Cruz can reconsider, I think David Ortiz is in far sounder ground than he is. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe.
Absolutely. It's all good. He doesn't he can say, oh, I decided to change my mind. I'm coming back. So, and no one would look the other way, that's for sure.
Not at all. Well, let's talk about pitching. Buchholz and Price. But Buchholz, you know, pulls down the win Monday night. But, I mean, it doesn't hurt to get you know, double-digit runs scored in your favor.
Well, absolutely. I mean, his you know, his numbers are just pretty bad. I'd just be nice about it.
Pretty bad.
I mean, I'm just kind of hoping that the infamous Clay Buchholz injury is going to find its way in and put him on the disabled list for a while because I don't know what it is about him. I mean, every year you see him out there, he goes through the motions. It seems like he has some good spurts and bad spurts, but you know, he doesn't seem like he's that into it. I don't know if it's just the facial expressions or his mannerisms or what his situation is, but I don't know. I think it's I'll put it this way. I'm happy he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season because I think his time here is worn out its welcome. He will be on the disabled list before you know. I mean, his ERA now is 5.9. Like you said, he got the 14-run support last night. And right behind him, obviously, the $30 million man with David Price. I mean, great, he's 4-1. The ERA is almost 7 at this point. It's 6.75, and the velocity is down. I mean, he could be injured. Who knows what the situation is there. We're just hoping, you know, he's supposed to be a warm-weather type pitcher, and things starting to heat up on the thermometer a little bit. Maybe he'll start to turn things around. But on the flip side, I mean, we've got to really enjoy, sit back and watch Stephen Wright pitch. It's, you know, circa the Tim Wakefield great times he had here pitching for the Red Sox. It's fun to watch, and hopefully he can keep it up, but as well as you know, the knuckleball guys, they're up and down. You never know what's going to happen. So just enjoy the run while you have it.
Yeah, I read a column there earlier that, I mean, Wakefield in his days with the Red Sox, you know, had some years where he was, I mean, didn't he lead in innings a number of times? I mean, here's a guy that lead in innings. I'm not quite sure about that, but or at least be two or three in innings. I mean, he was coming in. He was starting. He was relieving all in the same week. I mean, he was their go-to guy at different times in his career. What a great career he had, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you could say that, you know, Stephen Wright, at the age of 31, if he's really found it with a knuckleball, I mean, he could pitch another 10 years in the majors and have a Tim Wakefield kind of career. And obviously, if he has any issues, he's got Tim Wakefield in his back pocket. He'll come down and show him a few things and have his own little private pitching coach. But, you know, he was just outstanding at Yankee Stadium on Sunday night.
Yeah. Blake Swihart down at AAA. Tell us about that.
Well, he's headed down to AAA to work on playing in the outfield. He's been playing left field, and you know, give him a little more versatility when he comes back up to the Red Sox. And obviously, he's not going to catch. I wouldn't think all that much with Christian Vasquez and Ryan Hannigan being splitting the job. But you know, Red Sox technically could carry a third catcher. You can go in the outfield. He is a hitter. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to give you 20 home run power, but he should be a guy that's going to you know, bat 280, 290, and if he comes back up here, starts to hit a little bit, he could be a very important trade piece come the trade deadline. Maybe get maybe package him in a deal to get that all-elusive top starting pitcher to go along with David Price for the stretch run.
Andy Carboni is here with us, our baseball insider. Let's go to some national topics here, and National League, if you will, and American League, I suppose. Let's go to Chicago. That's where the story is at, with both the Cubs and the White Sox leading their divisions by decent margins. Tell us about that. I mean, that's just unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not from the Cubs' standpoint, obviously. That was expected with what the Cubs have put together for a team and the early outlook from coming off of last year. And they're currently riding a 7-game winning streak. They're 24-6. They're just on fire to start the season. But the on the flip side, on the south side of town, no one really expected the White Sox to jump out to a great start that they've had. They've won 4 in a row. They have a 6-game lead in the Central. It's the first time since 1973 that this late in the season, not that it's that late, being May 10th, but that the White Sox and the Cubs have been in first place in their divisions at the same time. So who knows? It could be a Subway Series in Chicago. That would be quite interesting.
Yeah, and they have the – both of those two teams have the biggest leads of any teams in their divisions of the six divisions. I got to do my math here, counting up. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Yeah,
yes,
there you go.
Do. Absolutely. Cubs have an 8-game lead and the White Sox a 6-game lead. So things are all good in Chicago.
And last thing, National League is now scoring more runs than the American League. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's another little interesting note early in the season, but at this point, the first time since another way back time, but 1974, we just talked about 1973 with the Cubs and White Sox, but at this point in the season, it's the first time since 1974 that the National League is outscoring an average per game runs over the American League. So at this point, the National League is averaging 4.47 runs a game, and the American League just over 4 runs a game at 4.01. So I don't know what that really means in the grand scheme of things, but just a little interesting nugget to throw out there.
Probably powered by the old Big Red Machine back then, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. Absolutely.
All right, there he is. He's Andy Carbone, our baseball insider, with us here. I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.
So the Red Sox are keeping us entertained. Nice, always to hear from Andy Carbone with his insight. And I did watch the game last night, but I also, Bill, I stopped by Gloucester Newell Stadium yesterday to watch the first half of the Beverly Gloucester boys lacrosse game, and Beverly is a machine. They look terrific. Moved out to 14-0 yesterday, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it's funny, James Coffey and Coach Pinchon, they make no bones about it. As James said, they're going for the state title, and boy, they look sharp yesterday.
Yeah, they won, and also got to give Masconomet baseball a little shout out today as their baseball team handed North Reading their first loss of the year. So North Reading was doing similar things in baseball. So a shout out to North Reading baseball as well for a great start to the year. It looks like they'll have a great season no matter what. You just can't go undefeated in baseball, though. Usually that doesn't happen. But I think it was 3-0 the score yesterday as Masconomet defeated North Reading in baseball yesterday. And let me think here. Those are some of the stories. We do have a post up with a bunch of scores and some notes from Endicott College. They have a tournament baseball game today over there, a noontime first pitch at Endicott College. So some things there to keep an eye on. And I don't know. I guess that's it. One more thing. Let me just do this one here. J.P. Reiling struck out the first this is Bishop Fenwick baseball now. This is from the front page of the item today, the sports section, is he struck out 12 batters, and they rolled to a 5-0 win over Matignon, but he had a no-hitter in that one, so that was a big win for them yesterday, and congratulations to Bishop Fenwick Baseball and to J.P. Reiling, 12 strikeouts in a no-hitter against Matignon. So that will do it for us today here on North Shore Today. Special thanks to Andy Carbone. And with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us today on North Shore Today. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.